I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Everything going on in the AFC North. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Didi Kinkabala, who joins us this morning, as she does every Tuesday morning at 8:20. Hello, Didi.
Good morning, Ken.
It's wonderful to
speak
to you.
Is it a good morning? Is it a good morning in Cleveland today?
It's better than it was yesterday. It's better than it was yesterday.
You know, Kevin Stefanski said it. The best thing going for them is that they have a short week.
Do you think they needed a preseason?
I don't think that. I mean, I think everybody could have used a preseason. But it's not as if one team didn't have one and everybody else did. So you're all essentially starting from, in theory, the same start line, although we've been talking about this for months and months, that we need to expect the Browns to have a little bit steeper of a curve to start than a team like the Steelers or the Ravens or the Saints.
Well, let me take it a step further here.
Okay.
Because I did get this reaction from a couple of fans, and I've been waiting to ask somebody else here because I didn't want to give them an answer yet because I don't know, and I'm hoping that this isn't true. We all start at the same line, and we've been saying, hey, new system, new coach, the whole thing might take some time, might take 3-4 weeks. Jim Donovan said it to us last night on the preview show. Did you see any failure in preparedness from the coaching staff in this game? Because people were looking at the game last night between the Steelers and Giants, and they were going, hey, Joe looks prepared. The Giants looked prepared, and they were ready to play. And there were people tweeting at us going, yeah, the Browns didn't look so much against the Baltimore Ravens. Is that an indictment, maybe a small indictment on Kevin Stefanski?
I don't think that this has to do with preparation. And, in fact, that was something that I asked Stefanski yesterday about the whole mechanics of the operation, of sending in the plays, of the headsets, of all of that. And he was really pleased with that portion of it. I just don't think that I don't think Baker ever really looked particularly comfortable. I did think that he looked best on some of that play action stuff, but then there weren't guys open when he was trying to go that way. I think, as you said about Odell, it just was the body language was just a little bit too soon, a little bit too early for us to be seeing that. And, you know, quite frankly, it felt to some degree like the Ravens knew exactly what the Browns were doing. Maybe things could have been a little bit more creative. I mean, but again, that's a little bit above my pay raise. I think that it could have been a little bit more creative of a game plan, and I'm not saying that because I think that there should be more fourth down fake punts. That's not what I mean by creativity. I think ultimately, at the end of the day, the big headlines here are that when Baker came out of college, he had exceptional poise in the pocket that seems to have really gotten missing to some degree. Figuring out why, I think, is a really big glaring question. Also, Baker still doesn't look totally entirely comfortable, and I don't know what that is attributable to. I don't know. I also think that Baker needs more help from his receivers. You know, a receiver has to make a tough catch. Every so often, a receiver has to help his quarterback out. And Baker made the point, Ken, after the game, that good teams don't let bad plays steamroll. There's a bad play, and then they put it behind them and move on. And you talk about that 3rd and 2 that hits Odell in the hands, and who knows what happens. Maybe he catches that ball, and there's a 1st down, and then on the next play, there's a turnover. Maybe they still have to settle for a field goal. Who knows? But if he does catch it, the drive stays alive. Maybe the Browns score a touchdown. Maybe the Browns are now down 17-13, and maybe the tone of that game changes a little bit. Good teams, it doesn't matter if there's a drop there. On the next drive, they come back and get things right. But, you know, it's still a young team. It's a very, very talented team, but just because there's a new staff and new scheme and change yet again, you still have to kind of consider it a new team.
Aditi, you said something there I found interesting. I know there was no preseason, and I know that the Browns didn't have a whole bunch of time to install, but for you to say that the Ravens seemed like they knew what the Browns were doing, I mean, this is supposed to be an opportunity where they weren't supposed to know at all what we were going to be doing, and yet they baited Baker into that first interception almost like they knew what the call was on third down, and Calais Campbell got his mitts on it. Who knows if it would have had a chance to be caught anyway, and then there's an interception there in the first series, and it kind of dictated how that entire thing would go. How could that happen so early?
Well, again, I think it goes back to the creativity of the play calling and the comfort level of Baker. And I mean, there's a lot of factors there, but yeah, it didn't feel, because we had, you're right, Lyman, we talked about that a bit. Like, is it six of one and a half dozen of the other? On the one hand, the Browns know exactly, she doesn't like when I insult the Browns clearly. The Browns know exactly what the Ravens are doing. So should they have an advantage of some kind? The flip side to that is, you know, the Browns, you would have thought, could have surprised the Ravens to some degree. But, I mean, but also, I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth here. Let's also acknowledge, the Ravens are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. They are a very, very, very good team. And it's not because they were a good team last year. They were a very, very good team last year, and then they got better. Their receiving core got better. Lamar Jackson made huge strides, especially in the downfield passing game this offseason, and their defense got better. I mean, Calais Campbell got a game ball. Talk about an impactful signing. Game one, Derek Wolfe played more defensive snaps than anybody else. Another impactful signing. So you have to look at a piece of that, and that's also a question that I asked Kevin Stefanski yesterday. I mean, I was essentially saying, I'd like to think I said it much nicer when I said, look, football is a game of inches. Do you feel like you just didn't win some of those inches and you really were actually closer than the score would indicate? Or, I mean, I didn't ask it this way, but the question was basically, are the Browns really that far behind? And, you know, his very honest answer was that the game wasn't close. You can't call it close.
Aditi, join us on the hotline. I got one more question about Odell, because right now fans, I mean, we put a poll up. 65% of them say they trade Odell Beckham right now. I mean, if you would have said that a year ago, I would have laughed. I would have said there's no chance. This city almost threw a parade when we traded for Odell. Why does it seem like so much is always focused on Odell and his issues? Maybe we're just as guilty of it because we're talking about it so much. Seems like it's back to the same conversations, exact same, that everybody in New York was having, you know, 2 years ago.
Okay, yes, that is very fair. These are conversations that people in New York were having, and this is part of what was sort of spread around after Dave Gettleman seemed to want him to go. But I will say this, when I talked to Malcolm Smith last week and I asked for his number one sort of big surprise takeaway moment in Cleveland, you know, he got to Cleveland and what was the one thing that really stood out? And the first thing he said was, Odell is the real deal. Now, we know that Odell is happier. He says that he's happier, that he's in a better place in his life. We know that Odell is healthy. He said last week that he looks back on last year and wonders how he played. We also know that Odell is a mercurial personality like many, many, many wide receivers. Look, for 6 years, Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger were the single best combination in the entire NFL. Had they figured out whatever was going wrong with them, they could have gone down in history as the best quarterback wide receiver duo ever. Antonio had these moments too. He wouldn't get the ball. And then Ben Roethlisberger was having to force the ball to him and make sure that he was kept happy. And this all kind of goes back to, I really feel that every NFL team should on their staff have a mental health professional, a psychologist, a therapist, a psychiatrist, a somebody. I think everybody could stand to just get their heads in the best possible place at all times. You, me, Ken, Odell, everybody. That's not just necessarily a statement on him. But I think forcing the ball to a receiver is never a good idea. it felt a little bit like we were seeing that Baker was trying to get Odell going, because obviously once he gets going, that can be really electrifying and infectious. It's the same sort of thing that we would see with Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. And, you know, at some point, Roethlisberger got very resentful of that. I don't think that Baker has the resume or the CV to be able to be resentful right now. But the Browns certainly don't seem – the Browns still clearly seem to believe in Odell and are not looking to move on from him. I mean, Stefanski yesterday said he's going to be a focal point of their offense. So I think the fix here is not how do you make a change from him. The fix is, okay, how do Baker and him get in a better place together? And is that something as simple as getting him going early? Is it being a little bit more creative in the design for him? You know, it's funny. I remember the Steelers hosting the Giants several years ago. I don't know. This must have been 5 years ago. Todd Haley was the Giants offensive coordinator at the time, and Bob McAdoo, or not, sorry, was the Steelers offensive coordinator, and Bob McAdoo was with the Giants. And Odell was just kind of an afterthought in that game. And it felt very much like he's arguably the most talented player on the field. And my takeaway after that game was that Bob McAdoo just wasn't being creative in figuring out ways to use him. And the flip side to that is that Todd Haley always found some way to get Antonio Brown going. It might have been a reverse. It might have been, you know, a simple little unexpected screen. You know, if he was double or triple teamed, Todd Haley always figured out some way to get Antonio Brown going and going early, because that sort of set the pace for what his game and what the Steelers' game would be. And I would just argue that maybe that's something to think about with Odell, that there are certain personalities, there are certain players that need to get moving. And then I'll use the same word, it's infectious through the whole team. And I think he's that kind of a guy. He's that kind of a personality. But again, it was one game.
So what you're telling me is,
a year ago, the Ravens were 2-2. Hold on, Ken. A year ago, the Ravens were 2-2 and had suffered an absolute whooping at home at the hands of the Browns. And then look at what happened. So when Stefanski says yesterday that you really need to give a team four games, you really need to give players four games before you get a fair assessment of who they are, there's a fairness to that, too. So it's kind of why I joked yesterday with you, like, why are people screaming for change already? It's one game.
Well, because you're not telling me anything good. Because the first thing is, when you're bringing up the mental health issue, like, it's like, yeah, well, I'm a basket case myself, so it's like, okay, I can get with that. The problem is though, I went back and I watched it on CBS again yesterday, and you were in the building, but if there was an errant pass to Jarvis Landry or Kadarius Hodge or something like that, it wasn't a big deal. We went about our business. When there was a pass breakup or something towards OBJ where he didn't get that ball, Marcus Peters was in his face, Marlon Humphrey was in his face, that entire Ravens sideline was whooping it up, barking at Odell Beckham Jr. So I know that we can talk about these type of things, which are serious, but it's still a competitive game, and that team knew that they could get in his head. And the other thing of what you're telling me is that if he's in a bad mood, then, yeah, it becomes the stereotypical cancer. Because you just said it yourself, it broods into the team. So if he's in a bad mood, it's going to carry out on the sideline and on the team.
Yes, that's completely true. I mean, and again, I know that your listeners hate when I bring up the Steelers so much, but please understand that I've spent a lot of time with them over the last 8 years, and there's a lot to learn from them. Think back to when the Steelers were playing in the AFC Championship against the New England Patriots, and Le'Veon Bell got hurt early, and Antonio Brown was not involved in the offense. Antonio Brown was sulking on the bench. He was sulking that entire game. Everybody had to go up to him. Ben Roethlisberger, everyone was trying to keep his head in the game. And it really was, it cast a pall over the whole entire game and the team. And that's the sort of thing you want to avoid. It's not fair to compare Odell Beckham to Jarvis Landry. Jarvis Landry is probably one of the mentally toughest, physically toughest players in the AFC, in the NFL. Okay, he is the Browns alpha dog. So just because Jarvis doesn't go in the tank because of a bad play doesn't mean that it's unfair for somebody else to be affected differently. We're not we're not all cut from the same mold. We don't all, we all have different tremendous assets, and we all have different things that we struggle with. And so it's not fair to say that because Rashard Higgins doesn't respond this way, or because Austin Hooper doesn't respond this way, then Odell shouldn't. Odell also makes catches that nobody else makes. Odell also has abilities that nobody else has. I just think that we all need to recognize, or teams need to recognize, different people are motivated in different ways. Different people get going in different ways. It's the same way that, you know, some people bring their own energy and other people need to be jacked up. I mean, some people drink coffee. Other people don't need coffee. It's that simple.
Aditi.
And so you have to figure out how to get Odell going. You have to figure out how to get Baker and Odell feeling really good about each other.
I'm going to tell you this right now, and I hope I'm wrong. And I'll throw out the number because I'll take the calls after we end with you because we got about 90 seconds. I think when people hear that what you're saying about Odell, they just go, "Yeah, it's a giant pain in the ass," and I'd rather just move on.
Okay, well, you know what? The Browns haven't had a lot of players of Odell Beckham caliber.
And we've been just as bad without him.
Out. Yeah, you know what? But that have really, truly panned out and been what you want. Have some patience. You know, the solution is not always to just move on. The solution sometimes is figuring out a way to make it better. I mean, you don't give up. Think about how many times your wife could have walked out on you. She doesn't divorce you at the first fight. Let's try to figure it out. I hope, at least, after three children. My goodness.
We'll see how tomorrow goes.
That's a start.
Aditi, quickly, rank the quarterbacks in the division right now.
I don't know about Lamar and Ben. I think Lamar is
that's not what we're asking. Come
probably
on,
the most dynamic athlete. I know, but that's the top, okay?
And the bottom?
Lamar is as dynamic as they come, but I think experience really matters.
Where is the bottom?
You're not interested in that. Where is the bottom?
Where is the bottom? Come on, do it.
Want me to say after one game? How about this? I promise you.
I didn't ask a question.
I will see Joe Burrow live Thursday night. I will be in the building in Cleveland. I will see Joe Burrow. Can I tell you next week?
No, because you already gave us our answer without giving us your answer, Aditi.
She most certainly did.
Yes, you did.
He's got one game. Baker's got 30. I mean, come on. It's not really a fair comparison.
Thanks for the time.
I mean, after year one, we wouldn't have. Nobody was questioning Baker after year one. Everybody was deliriously excited after year one on Baker.
All righty, Aditi. Thank you. Well, we got to go now.
All right.
We appreciate the time. All the best.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. 216-578-0092. They're in. I think a lot of fans heard what Aditi was saying and going, come on, this is a big pain. Let's go. Aditi on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. 216-578-0092. You guys coming up and... We welcome back an old, notorious friend on this football team. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, Live on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.